Today's scripture is the 27th Psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. The one thing I asked of the Lord, this I seek, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in God's temple. For God will hide me in her shelter in the day of trouble. God will conceal me under the cover of God's own tent. God will set me on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in God's tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek God's face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing without violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. God's word for God's people. Amen.
I invite everyone to turn to the cover of your worship bulletin for today, because I want you to take a look at the image that is there, as will I. And I ask you, what do you see? What do you feel? What do you wonder? This past Tuesday was a very full day for me. That morning, I dropped Beth off in Milton Village to pick up the trolley to begin her commute to Cambridge, zipped across the line into Boston to indulge myself and get a little me time with a chai latte at Flat Black, and headed to our Adams Street campus in East Milton to meet RG for our inaugural hosting of our co-pastor's online office hours in the library chapel of that building. Yes, please do note, this is also a public service announcement, that you can now drop into our weekly office hours either on location at 610 Adams Street or on Zoom from wherever you might be every Tuesday at 9:30 a.m. Now, the library chapel on our Adams Street campus has always been my favorite physical space there. And it brought me immeasurable joy to have that sacred space quite populated as we gathered there for our Ash Wednesday service this year to begin our Lenten journey. A few of my own personal treasured devotional figurines continue to grace some of the windowsills in that chapel library, and one of them is the angel featured on the cover of our bulletin today. I found this angel, or perhaps she found me, a number of years ago in a hospital gift shop in North Philadelphia. I was there to visit a 10-year-old boy in the congregation I was serving at that time who had been walking alone in a park near his home when he was attacked by a pit bull. The boy had multiple very serious injuries and spent many months in the hospital recovering from that attack. During those months, that young boy and I both needed that angel, and many others very much. Even when I look at this particular angel now, some dozen or so years later, I still think of that boy, now a young man, and offer a prayer for his healing and his wholeness. Take a look at that cover photo again. Typically, this angel's wings are attached exactly where you imagine they would be. But this past Tuesday, I found this angel and her wings like you see them in this photo. My first response was, "Oh no, she's broken." My heart sank. No one even left a note. She definitely needs another trip to the repair shop for angels. Yet in quick succession, my thoughts moved to, oh my goodness, this angel's present condition so captures the heart of this season of Lent. Those wings are actually still connected to each other, and her wings are not very far from her at all. Perhaps she's even now praying to God to be reconnected to her wings. Praying to understand what it means to be separated from her wings right now and not quite whole. Thanking God her wings are still within reach. Praying to be pieced back together again, to become and be whole again. Yes, this angel's present condition and my own present condition, and possibly yours too, beautifully capture the heart of the season of Lent. Yes, we are broken. Yes, we long to be whole again. Maybe our praying and becoming church together in this season of Lent and every season is not unlike being tended to and tending to each other in a repair shop for angels, a bit separated from our wings. Yes, this past Tuesday was a very full day for me. For following our office hours, and when I discovered my angel in the chapel with her wings not exactly attached, RG and I met together for a bit, sent some emails, made some phone calls, and then RG headed off to the next appointment on his calendar. I moved to the church office on Adams Street to take care of a few loose administrative ends that truly never end, and hoped to be on my way soon. Just as I was wrapping up, eager to get out into the incredibly beautiful day that Tuesday was, you may recall, the office doorbell rang. Especially as I was in the office wing by myself at that time, I peered through the spy hole in the door to see who it might be. I instantly recognized a person who I had first met at the church about 18 months ago when he came seeking some financial assistance. Though not as common an occurrence as when our church buildings always had pastors and secretaries on hand much of the day, such visits still do occur. And I'll be honest with you, my first thoughts then were, oh no, I'm sure he's come to ask for money again. Repeat requests are also not that uncommon. I thought I remembered he had followed up with me about having a job. But what if that fell through? What new challenge might he be facing now? So I took a deep breath, and I opened the door. I'd give this person the fictional name of Adam, as in the first human being created in God's image out of the dust of the earth, as the story goes in the book of Genesis, if I could. But alas, that is his actual name. Adam was very excited to see me and catch me up on his life, so we grabbed a seat in the pastor's office and started to get caught up. Adam explained that he'd stopped by a few other times recently to try to visit with me, but I hadn't been around, including one Sunday when the whole congregation and its pastor were Asian. Yes, Adam, you got to meet our friends from the Korean Presbyterian Church that worships and gathers here on Sunday afternoons. Well, Adam continued, they were more than willing to give you my greetings and this envelope and its contents, but I really wanted to give it to you myself. Adam then rummaged through his backpack to find the purple envelope. Yes, it was and is purple. Ah, Lent, it really is everywhere. And as he handed it to me, imploring me to please open it and read it now, Adam said, "You really did save my life. You were there when I needed it most, and I will never forget that. I looked down at the purple envelope in my hands, mostly to try to hide the tears that were welling up then and are now, and quickly opened it to find a lovely thank you card with a beautiful rose on the cover. "Open it now, please," Adam urged. The card simply says, "To Pastor Davis, thank you so very much for everything. Adam." And that thank you card was also stuffed with $452 in cash, the exact amount that I had been able to access from gifts made to our deacon's fund to catch up the payments on Adam's storage space, the one that holds the vast majority of his worldly possessions, as he has been and still sleeps in a local shelter for the unhoused. I paused and then did my best to find a set of angel wings, hopefully my own, but anybody's would do, that I might borrow in that very moment. Hopefully, I thought, there must be some nearby, so I could glue those wings on and glue myself back together and thank Adam for remembering our gift to him and to assure him that it was a gift, no strings attached, with no expectation or requirement that he pay it back. But since he did, we would put his gift of $452 right back into our deacon's fund to be able to offer a gift again to someone else in need, now or in the future. Adam said again, "You really did save my life. You were there when I needed it most, and I will never forget it." And then we said our goodbyes. Beloved ones of God, I am certain that Adam was a bearer of a special message to me that day. And as I pray, his story is also a message for all of us today, of angels everywhere among us, and especially when we least expect them, and maybe don't even want them. Angels with wings askew, angels with broken wings, angels in need of our care, angels able to fly a bit anew and again, angels of perseverance. How many times had he come to the church looking for me? And he said again, "This has been in my backpack for a long time, but I never, ever spent that money." Angels of gratitude, angels of generosity, brokenness and care, perseverance and grace, gratitude and generosity, so real, so vivid, so alive. So I challenge each of us today, within or beyond our own ability in this stewardship season, to prayerfully consider pledging or giving an additional amount on top of what we already plan to give or pledge in some multiple of 452. In pennies, if that's what you can do, in dimes or dollar bills or in $10 bills or $20 bills or $100 bills, for the mission that God has placed in the life of this United Church to be and continue to become an open Christian community for all, to belong, to grow, and to engage in acts of service and justice, including offering our care and financial assistance to our neighbors in need, near and far. And may we do so also in honor of Adam. For I do believe there are angels everywhere all around us, visiting each one of us to teach us once again the way of our Lord, to lead us on a level path, to make it possible for us to see the goodness of our God in the land of the living, to be strong and to let our hearts take courage, to seek God's face, and to know that the angel repair shop each of us deeply needs is always open in the heart of our God. Thanks be to God. Amen.